Good morning, church. Merry Christmas. This is Christmas week, and as our Christmas cheer to you, our Christmas card to you is summed up in this video. So let's let Sean roll it. One of the most loved recent Christmas songs that we've had, Mary, Did You Know? How many have heard that song before? Good. I'm glad you have. Well, what I wanted to center in on this morning is that last line that says, Mary, did you know the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? We've been talking about this I Am statement over the last several weeks, and we're kind of wrapping things up today with that same I Am statement. I am the bread of life, says Jesus in the Gospel of John. There's seven actual statements that Jesus makes using that phrase, I am. And we've looked at three of them. We've looked at the way, the truth, and the life. We've looked at the Good Shepherd. Last week, we looked at Jesus being the light of the world. And so today, we're looking at Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. The phrase, I am, is the covenant name of God, used when God spoke to Moses back in Exodus chapter 3, where he said, I am that I am. I will be what I will be, the all-existing one. And the phrase speaks of his self-sufficient existence, which is an attribute only God possesses. As we think about Jesus being the bread of life, many of us are very familiar with bread. How many had toast for breakfast this morning? Good number of you. Many of you will have a sandwich for lunch, and maybe later on this evening you might have something else to go along with your meal that might include bread. Bread is one of our staples in life. It's actually a staple not only in North America, but all over the world. Michael and Talia just arrived back home yesterday from their time, their 3 months in Norway. And I asked them a little bit this morning about some of their meals that they had in Norway and asked if it was the same as what Ryan had in Norway. They said, yes, there's bread all over the place in Norway. And if just about every meal, there's some bread on the side for you to eat. And there's so many choices in bread today. We have seven grain, whole wheat, light rye, dark rye, sourdough, French roll, onion bread, pumpernickel, focaccia, pita bread. The list goes on and on and on. I just barely touched upon them. In fact, one website that I looked at on holiday bread recipes gave this number, 550 holiday bread recipes. Isn't that amazing? Do we have any people from German descent here? Yes. You probably are familiar with the German bread Stollen. All right, okay. For those of you that are from that German background, the Stollen is kind of a fruit bread with dried fruit in it. My mother-in-law makes it just about every year, so I'm looking forward to that on the 28th when we go there to Kelowna. And I was reading some interesting facts about it. Stollen was first prepared for the Council of Trent in 1545. That's interesting. German bread at the Council of Trent. Well, I am sure we'll all agree that there's nothing quite like the smell of fresh baked bread in the morning, or walking into the Cobb store here in town and just getting that euphoria of smell from the baking bread in the back. It's just wonderful. Many of you enjoy pizza. Well, pizza is really just a type of flatbread. And so we have that quite often in our home. You probably do too. And many of you will have a traditional turkey dinner this week. And guess what's inside the turkey? A stuffing. And of course, bread is there as well. So it's pretty interesting that we're talking about bread here at Christmas time because it's all around us. Am I making you hungry yet? This morning we want to find out what Jesus had to say about bread and how it relates to finding true life. Finding true life, that's what we want to explore this morning. In the back of your bulletins, there's an outline that you can follow along with me, make some notes if you would like to. But right now we want to look in our Bibles. So have your Bibles open to John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. This sermon that Jesus preaches, and really it is a sermon, and sometimes it's hard to speak a sermon on a sermon. So really it's more of a Bible study that we're going to be walking through this morning, looking at some of the key aspects of Jesus' sermon. And as we go through this morning, please feel free to take some notes that will help you understand what it means to find true life in Jesus, the bread of life. This sermon comes right after Jesus feeds 5,000 men. Now, we know it says men there. It could be 10,000 people if we include, you know, a wife for every man. It could be more than that if there are children around, probably. It could have been upwards of 20 to 40,000 people there. Who knows? And Jesus has this miraculous feeding of at least 5,000 people. Jesus, in this section here that we're going to read now, is talking about a hunger in people. So let's just take a look, first of all, about how hungry people will find true life in Jesus Christ. Hungry people will find true life in Jesus Christ. Verse 22. On the next day, that is the day after Jesus had the miracle of feeding 5,000, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and Jesus had not entered that boat with his disciples, because they saw him walk up into the mountains to be by himself, probably to pray, which he did quite often. But that his disciples had gone on alone to the other side. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Okay? There's that word, seeking. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you?" It's kind of an interesting question. They just did a sign, and now they're asking for more signs. "What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." So let's first look of all at this phrase about hungry people will find their true life in Jesus. Jesus is addressing a hunger in these people. They've been following him and his disciples. They saw him do miraculous signs, and that got them curious about who this man is. At the beginning of John chapter 6, this crowd is following Jesus. Jesus knows that they're hungry, so he asks Philip, "Where should we buy some bread for all of these people?" Philip came from the nearby village of Bethsaida, so he would know where the best supermarkets were. He would know where the bakeries were. He would know who made the best bread in town. But he says this. He's not stupid. He knows his math. He reasons that with 5,000 men and women and children, at least, it's going to take a lot of money to feed these people, Jesus. So he says 200 denarii would not be enough to buy bread for all these just to get a little bite. 200 denarii is about 8 months' worth of wages. So it's a lot of money. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, speaks up. He says, "Here's a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" Well, Jesus has them sit down. 5,000 men plus women and children, about 10,000 mouths to feed, takes the loaves, gives thanks, takes the fish, gives thanks, and gives the crowd as much as they wanted. In fact, there is leftovers, 12 basketfuls of leftovers, plenty to go around. When Jesus does things, he does things big. And he gives us more than we could ever ask or imagine, as the scriptures say. So there's baskets full of leftovers. They see the miraculous sign. They call him a prophet. They want to make him a king by force. But Jesus retreats to the mountains by himself. And during the evening, the disciples leave on the boat, and there's another miracle where Jesus walks on the water. And then we get to this discourse about Jesus being the bread of life. But this crowd, they find him on the other side of Galilee. They actually take boats. They want to find out where he is. They're seeking him out. They're driven people. They won't stop until we find Jesus. They want to be fed once again. Now, maybe they're mentality, their reasoning is not all that spiritual. I mean, if we've got somebody who's going to feed us for supper here, I'm sure Jesus has got something cooking for breakfast that we can find him. So let's hang out with Jesus for a little while longer and see what's going on. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you're not seeking me because I can feed you. You're seeking me because you saw the signs and you ate your fill of the loaves. What Jesus is saying is here is, don't be hungry for physical food only. Be hungry for nourishing spiritual food. Spiritual food that will give you life. And he's about to define what life is all about, and we'll go into that soon. Well, the crowd says, well, we know about manna, and Moses providing us manna, that wonderful bread that our forefathers got to eat while they were wandering around in the desert for those 40 years. Jesus reminds them it was God who was their provider. And he's the one who brought the manna for them. The true bread from heaven is God's provision of his son, Jesus. There's a lesson that comes out of these people. They were indeed hungry in a physical sense, and they would do whatever was necessary to get fed. Jesus wants us to be hungry. Hungry for him in a very, very strong way. We heard this morning from Wayne about some hungry men who wanted the bread of life. And I believe our world is still hungry for that bread of life. They might not know it completely at this point, but Jesus is there to satisfy their hunger. I was reading the story about Rico Tice, a pastor in London, England. And he said this about where we're at today with our world. He said, as London has become increasingly a secular city, I've come across three basic attitudes related to faith in Christ. People are saying Christians are weird, Christianity is untrue, and Christianity is irrelevant. Now, increasingly, I'm also hearing a fourth, Christianity is intolerant. So he says this, of course, as we step out in faith and start talking about Jesus, we have to realize we'll encounter both spiritual hostility and spiritual hunger. He wrote a book called Honest Evangelism, and in there he said, there may not be persecution, but we're in a culture of growing hostility towards Christianity. It's not just apathy we face, it's antipathy. Many people don't really like the gospel. Sometimes they express that politely, and sometimes not so politely at all. But they don't like it. This shouldn't really surprise us. Think of how incendiary much of what we believe is. We believe Jesus is the only way to God. We believe the cross is the only way to be forgiven. We believe that one day everyone will be judged. So if you're going to talk to people about Jesus, you're going to get hurt. It is going to sever some relationships. It is going to provoke people. Not every time, but we will face rejection enough in time to give us second thoughts, because I don't know about you, but I don't particularly like getting hurt. We're wired to assume that if we're getting hit, something's gone wrong. And so whenever I tell somebody the gospel message and I get hit, metaphorically speaking, there's the temptation to either stop saying anything or change what I'm saying. And then listen to this, what he says. But after all, this is only half the story. There is also increased hunger in our culture. And this may be heightened around the Christmas season. The same rising tide of secularism and materialism that rejects the truth claims of Jesus and is offended by absolute moral standards is proving to be an empty, hollow way to live. And that means, excitingly, you're more and more likely to find people quietly hungering for the content of the gospel, even as our culture teaches them to be hostile towards it. So expect skepticism or even hostility, while also keeping in mind that millions of non-Christians are still spiritually hungry. That's from Rico Tice, a pastor in London. When we're really hungry physically, we can get pretty passionate about finding a place to eat. If you've been on a car ride with young kids, you know what I'm talking about. Where are we going to stop, Dad? I'm hungry. And it may not be the healthiest choices that we have, but we just grab something to satisfy our hunger. And the same thing can happen in a spiritual sense. We can just grab whatever might be out there. And a lot of people have. I'm going to grab a little bit of spiritism. I'm going to grab a little bit of Eastern meditation. I'm going to grab a little bit of this, that, and the other thing. Just nibble on this, nibble on that. But Jesus comes to satisfy the true hungry heart. I am the bread of life. So I ask you this morning, how is our own hunger towards Jesus and his message of life? Do I pursue Jesus like the people did? Even though they were searching for that physical food, do I pursue Jesus? Do I seek Jesus because I'm hungry for Jesus? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who are hunger and thirsting for righteousness, for they will be filled. And again, it must be noted that Jesus isn't talking about alleviating physical hunger and thirst. When Jesus says to those who come to him will never hunger and those who believe in him will never thirst, he's saying he will satisfy our hunger and our thirst to be made righteous in the sight of God. So where is your heart today? Is it hungry? And is that hunger reflected in my Bible reading, in my prayer life? So there's a place on the back of the bulletin if you have one. It's kind of a continuous line there where one side says satisfied, one side says hunger and hungry. Where would you mark yourself on that line? You don't need to show me. It's between you and God. You don't need to do it now. You could think about it, take it home with you. Satisfied or hungry? Hungry people will find true life in Jesus Christ. Let's move on. This morning also, true life in Jesus is long-lasting. Is long-lasting. Verse 35 says this. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. I am the bread of life. So here is our Advent tie-in this morning. Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God with skin on, with flesh on. And notice that phrase that we're going to look at here, starting in verse 32, actually, came down from heaven, okay? Verse 32 says this, then Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who, verse 33, comes down from heaven. Okay? Then in verse 38, it says, for I have come down from heaven. Verse 41, so the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. In verse 42, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father, he who is from God or from heaven. Verse 50 says, this is the bread that comes down from heaven. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And verse 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is God incarnate, Emmanuel. All these verses point to the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It speaks of his preexistence with God eternally. He's not created by God. He's always been God. He's the second member of the Trinity, along with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He eternally exists in that second person of the Trinity. He was, he is, and always will be. The bread of life is eternal. Jesus, born as a helpless baby in the city of David, called Bethlehem. Bethlehem translated means, get this, house of bread. How's that for a Christmas tie-in? Jesus, the bread of life, born in the house of bread, and now declaring that he is the bread of life. He's the true Christmas bread, if we want to use that phrase this week. And bread has always played a very important part in the Jewish life. It's part of what was in the temple. And Leviticus chapter 24 talks about the 12 loaves of bread that were to be continually baked fresh each day and placed out on the altar. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, also called the Passover, was where the Jewish people ate bread. It's interesting, if you look back in John chapter 6 and verse 4, when did Jesus perform this miracle and have this sermon? It says there, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. It's all tied in. The Passover, the bread of life, the miracle, it all works together here. The feeding of the 5,000 taking place at this particular time. This statement that Jesus makes, I am the bread of life, is very simple. And Jesus just takes a common metaphor, bread, and relates it to himself. So, why would I want this bread? What does Jesus have to offer? What does this bread do for us? Why is it so important? Well, basically, this is the message. The bread that Jesus gives is life. And specifically, eternal life. And I don't mean eternal life as in we'll be in heaven forever and ever with Jesus. I mean, the minute you are saved, the minute you give your life to Jesus, the bread of life comes within you by his Holy Spirit, and eternal life begins now, at that conversion moment. And eternal life is a big theme with John, and it's a big theme here in these verses. And again, we're going to look at these verses to see what it's all about as far as life goes. So again, John chapter 6, verse 27 says this, do not labor for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life. And verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 47, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Verse 50, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. In verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Verse 53, truly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Life, 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 eternal life. This is the bread of life offered to us today. It's all about Jesus and the eternal life he offers to us and to the world. How do we get eternal life? Some people say, well, you got to work for it. Jesus says, no, I did the work for you. We believe in Jesus and what his shed blood accomplished. It's the removal of our sins when we repent and turn from our wicked ways. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Life. Jesus' bread is himself, who is the eternal one. And he gives eternal life to all who come to him in faith and repentance and believe that he is the Son of God. You see, manna only lasted for the day. The Israelites were commanded, after the manna rained down from heaven, gather as much as you need for the day, just the day. Because what happened to it, if they try to keep it overnight, it's spoiled. Maggots. It just went bad. Jesus, the true bread from heaven, the true manna from heaven, is everlasting and everlasting and everlasting. The invitation is for us to come and receive his eternal life for each and every one of us. Long-lasting is really hard, I think, for us to understand in our instant society, our microwave society, if you have it. We want things fast. We want it quick. And everything that you buy, it seems these days, is throwaway. You know, you buy a dishwasher, and they tell you, well, it's supposed to last 5 years. Then you throw it away, and you get a new one. You don't fix things so much anymore. You throw it away. It's not worth fixing. It costs you more to fix it than it will to buy something new, is what most of the repair people will tell you these days. There's all kinds of commercials out there that are guaranteeing long-lasting this, that, and the other thing. Chewing gum. You're supposed to be long-lasting. Extra, extra, lasts a long, long time. Or Stride gum is the longest-lasting gum. But, you know, you chew it for about 10 minutes, and the flavor is gone. What about Christmas time? You spend so much time and money searching for the perfect gift for your kids. You wrap it up nicely. You put it in boxes, put it in bows, put it under the tree. You're hoping your kids will just enjoy it. They do for 10 seconds. And then it goes aside and they go on to the next one. And the next one and the next one. And they may play it for a week or maybe even 2 weeks if it's a good video game. And then they, let's go on to the next one. So we live in this world where things don't last long. And Jesus comes along and he kiboshes all of that and he says, I'm the eternal one. I want you to be hungry for me because I will give you life everlasting. The Christian life is meant to be long-lasting because Jesus is fresh bread every day. He's the living bread. Not the stale bread, the living bread. But why is it that many of us make commitments to Jesus Christ when we're young and there's enthusiasm and there's excitement and then that starts to wane? And today I think we need a fresh taste of Jesus, the bread of life. We have forsaken our first love. Our love has grown cold. Like the church in Ephesus, we in Revelation chapter 2. So be hungry for Jesus and realize that he's eternal. And then lastly this morning, feeding on Jesus is what brings true life. Feeding on him. And for that, we look into the last portion of scripture here in this sermon that Jesus gives, verses 51 to 58. Some really hard sayings here. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven, verse 51. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews disputed among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, yes, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Okay, he's in the Jewish church, and he's saying some things that are upsetting to this Jewish crowd. Because they know that the Old Testament talks about drinking blood is taboo. We don't do that as Jewish people. This is not good. So Jesus needs to help them explain what he's talking about. Jesus is the bread of life. It is whom we need to eat in order to have eternal life. And this whole idea of feeding on him is about relating to his life and death. The bread represents his body given for us, his life. His blood represents his blood spilt, his death for us, so that we might live and have our sins forgiven. Have you heard the phrase before, you are what you eat? Well, health officials tell us there's good stuff to eat, there's not so good for us to eat. Many years ago, we found out that dark chocolate was really good, and my hand went up, yep, count me in. I want in on the chocolate. That's good for us. Vitamin C, orange juice, is good for us. Grandma's chicken noodle soup has something good for our colds. Our schools understand that healthy foods need to be a part of who we are, and so they're removing chocolate bar and chip vending machines and putting in healthier choices. Even our fast food joints are coming up with healthier alternatives for us to eat. And Jesus says, I am true food and true drink. I am the nourishing one. I have all that you ever need. Feed on me. Feed on me. If you're feeding on Jesus, then you will become more like him day after day after day. So I ask myself, I ask you the question, how do I look? Do I look like Jesus more today than I did yesterday? If you want to be healthy spiritually, then you need to feed on Jesus. Just as you take food into your body, so you take Jesus into your life. So Jesus is the bread of life, and I will treat him with great importance, just like I do actual food. Many of us will eat 3 square meals today, but we would be hard-pressed to really survive if we only ate one meal a week. And sometimes, as Christians, we walk into a church and we say, I'm going to get fed today, and we trust that will happen. But I trust that what we say here in church every Sunday will give you a hunger and a thirst for more during the week, because you can't survive on one meal a week, physically or spiritually. This was a hard saying for the Jews, and excuse the pun, but they found it hard to swallow. So Jesus lays it out straight for them. He's talking here of his death. He's saying that his death is what will bring true life, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. He's speaking metaphorically. He's not speaking literally here. Because sin has placed us under God's sentence of death, we live only because Jesus' death on our behalf. We know life only as we make his death a reality in our lives. The forgiveness that he brings, the eternal life that he brings, feeding on Jesus. And their reaction is, as Rico Tice said somewhat in his excerpt that I read, this is a hard saying. Who can accept it? That's what we find the world saying today. It's hard to accept it. And that from that point on, it says, many of the disciples turned their backs and no longer followed Jesus. And so he turns to his 12 and he says, do you want to leave too? Peter, the spokesman. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter was saying, there's no one else we want to follow. So true life is found in Jesus. Peter recognized it. Are we recognizing it today? Feeding on Jesus will bring true life. So as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, so we'll ask the worship or the communion team to get things ready as I close off here. And I'll hand it over to Charlie in just a moment. But some action steps from us to walk out of here with today. What's our responsibility in all of this? Well, if you have a chance to read through this section at some point again, you'll see some very important details of what it means to see Jesus as the bread of life. In verse 45, he says this, I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me. That's the first verb. We need to come to Jesus. In verse 40, he says, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. We come to Jesus and we look on Jesus, secondly. And this word look is very, very specific. It means to look intently, to scrutinize, to look carefully, to look thoughtfully, to gaze fully, to behold. It's not a, oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. No, it's looking intently, gazing upon. We come to Jesus, we look on Jesus. Verse 35, 40, and 47 all talk about whoever believes in me, whoever looks on the Son and believes in him. Verse 47, whoever believes has eternal life. We come, we look, we believe. To believe is to eat of Jesus. And eating is necessary to gain eternal life. You have to take Jesus into your life. Eating is in response to an empty heart. Eating will be transformational. So Jesus is looking for hungry people who will come to him, look upon him, believe in him, and feed upon him, the bread of life.
Thanks, Greg.